The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps.
I'm convinced our forefathers with some of these ultra-leftist organizations and groups have been listening to this song for a lot of years. The problem is they end the song by "We must take America." It has been, what, 5-6 days since we've been together. Much has continued to happen. I'm appalled at the things I see on the so-called news. The stories are one thing. The lies, the deceit, the obfuscation of truth and reality is something else. Politically, spiritually, most certainly economically. There's not an area that's not touched. I look at market reports today. Dow Jones Industrial up 84 points to end their session at 22,641. S&P 500 up nearly 5.5 at 25.34. NASDAQ up 15 points to close at 65.31. The global Dow is hovering at about 29.25, 2,925 points. All of this on top of an amazing array of headlines. How to protect yourself if you fear a stock market crash is coming. Six similarities between now and 1987 when the Dow plummeted 23% in one day. Headline, "This is the undoing of the bull market. It's already here," says a lone bear. Mark Hulbert says, "Why your neighbor's stock buying should worry you. Enjoying the calm market, don't expect it to last forever." And it goes on and on and on. IRS awards fraud prevention contract to Equifax. Oh, my God. Now, this is the first time I've seen that headline. The IRS has awarded a fraud prevention contract to Equifax. These are the ones that were hit so hard that's got all of our data and our information. How about the CEO over at Goldman Sachs? Bitcoin's rise may be like when paper money displaced gold. So is he saying that Bitcoin is going to replace paper money? You know, paper money isn't worth much. BlackRock says the rise of Bitcoin shows how much money laundering is being done in the world. Another headline, Bitcoin is creating a stark division on Wall Street. Of course it is. Because the more stuff that goes on with Bitcoin, the less Wall Street has control of it. So apparently, one of the major Wall Street brokerage firms is taking a look at maybe taking on Bitcoin. Good evening. Welcome to An Hour of Protecting Your Wealth. Jeff Bennett here for the next 50-some-odd minutes. Yeah, these are the kind of headlines we see. Over the precious metals side of the aisle, gold, of course, this is an aftermarket figure now because this is, you know, the markets are open elsewhere. Gold up 37 cents at $1,273. Silver is flat right now at $1,665. Now, these numbers become interesting to me. And the number that always intrigues the living daylights out of me has been platinum. Platinum is up a whopping dollar at $911 an ounce. Platinum, in many respects, has totally fallen out of favor. And never in all the years professionally I've been in the a broker in the precious metals field have I ever seen platinum not only lower than gold, but remained lower than gold. For a long time, it was about $300 lower than gold. Now it's worse than that. It's about $360 lower than gold. Now you go figure that one out. What's going on in the platinum world? Have they found something else to put into our catalytic converters as opposed to platinum? I don't know, my friends. I don't know. We shall move forward. Today we're going to share with you some little bit of history lessons. Those of you who over the years have acquired specie, gold, silver, platinum, things that are like, one of the things that always comes up is, how do we store it without people knowing we've got it? First thing you do is when you acquire it, you shut up about it. You don't tell every one of your kids. You don't tell your cousins, your aunts, your uncles, your grandpas, nothing. You shut up. There's lots of places you can stick it in your house. I'm not a huge lover of bank safety deposit boxes because if something happens to you or the wife, oops, somebody's going to get cut out. Or maybe representative of Homeland Security raises questions with the bank and walks into your bank with the right kind of paperwork and they get to get into your box. Is what you believe there still going to be there? We'll try to talk about some of that a little bit later in the show. Gold and its little brother, silver, have always been the basis of money. Going all the way back to the beginnings of what we call money in the late 4th millennium B.C. And by the year 2000 B.C., gold and silver had been money for over 1,000 years. The entire history of civilization on this planet, gold was still the basis of money in the 1960s. In an unbroken line stretching all the way back to the beginning of history. Now, one somewhat counterintuitive requirement for money is that it does not have a utilitarian purpose, at least not one whose value is comparable to its so-called money value. If there was some utilitarian use for gold, it would be used up, consumed, and thus disappeared. Not what you want to happen to your money. Now, ancient China actually had quite a lot of difficulty with this. You see, they began using copper coinage. And copper coinage sometimes disappeared to make farm tools out of. But that's kind of true today of our monetary system. Paper money, if it's worth as paper, was more than it's worth as money, it would be used up and consumed. That does happen from time to time in the outhouse or whatever. Or when hyperinflated banknotes become wallpaper. Estimated that global mining supply in 2015, I don't have figures for 16 yet, was 3,186 metric tons of gold. Now, industrial demand, not including jewelry, amounted to 331 tons, including 263 tons for electronics, 48.6 tons for other industrial uses, and 18.9 tons for dentistry. How much gold do you think is going to remain in the cemeteries? Never mind. You figure that one out. But I guess dentistry or dental gold is something we consider a form of jewelry, especially if you live in the ghetto. Now, some of this industrial use is later recycled. About 54 tons from the electronics industry in 2015 alone. 54 tons of gold recycled, being removed from computers and cell phones. And that's a phenomenal amount. And so thus we see that only about 10% of gold mining production is used in industry where it's mostly consumed and lost. The rest gradually piles up in the form of jewelry and bullion. Bullion could be bars, it could be coins, rounds, wafers. Today it is estimated that 181,000 tons of above-ground gold is in the world, and the accumulation of gold mining production back to the earliest times, and about half of that gold was mined after 1970. Think about that. Mining production is only about 2.1% of so-called above-ground supply. You see, gold is scarce in the sense that it's hard to find and available in very low concentrations, which means that if you're out mining for it, you've got to generally process a very large amount of rock to get it. And the resulting high production cost is the ultimate reason for gold's so-called high value. And yet, in terms of availability, it's more than plentiful. We actually have twice as much above-ground gold today as when the world left the gold standard in 1971. We've got seven times more than in 1910. That's the era of the so-called classical gold standard. And we have about 50 times a year's mine production. I was recently introduced to a book written in 1848, 100 years before I was born. The name of the book was Principles of Political Economy. And the author, John Stuart Mill, stated that to the qualities which originally recommended them, gold and silver, another came to be added, the importance of which only unfolded itself by degrees. Of all commodities, they are among the least influenced by any of the causes which produce fluctuations of value. No commodities are so little exposed to causes of variation. They fluctuate less than almost any other things in their cost of production. And as to their durability, the total quantity in existence is at all times so great in proportion to the annual supply that the effect on value, even of a change in the cost of production, is not sudden. A very long time being required to diminish materially the quantity in existence, and even to increase it very greatly, not being in rapid process. Gold and silver, therefore, are more fit than any other commodity to be the subject of engagements for receiving or paying a given quantity at some distant period, end quote. But he does go on to say, and this is an area that I've done a lot with over the years, probably the last 4 or 5 years, I have shipped a large amount of copper. Not because I believe it's going to ever rise to the occasion of what gold and silver do, but it is a very affordable, low-end, moderate way of doing a degree of monetary exchange. So, according to what Mills says, the situation for copper is the complete opposite of that of gold and silver. Copper goes from smelter to factory as quickly as possible, incurring the least possible storage expenses along the way. Known inventories on major exchanges are only 4% of annual mine supply, a two-week supply. Copper has a market value of about $3.2 billion. The above-ground supply of gold, on the other hand, is worth about $7.7 trillion, or 2,400 times more. The world's inventory of wheat in storage is worth about $36 billion, and it's about 19% of annual world production, which, by the way, has interesting implications for commodity basket currency notions. And so it becomes easy to see the supply and demand issues that affect copper and wheat have no effect on gold. You could double the annual mine supply or cut it in half with little overall effect. Or as the great 14th century Arab genius Ibn Khaldun said, "And God created the two precious metals, gold and silver, to serve as the measure of value of all commodities, for other goods are subject to the fluctuations of the market from which they are immune." And thus, my friends, gold becomes the best measure of stability in monetary value. Certainly no one, including Mills, argued that gold's performance in this role was perfect. But after centuries and millennia of experience, we can say that gold's deviation from this perfect ideal was minor enough that it didn't matter much. It was good enough that there was no need to find something better, even if one could, which nobody ever has. But the problem with gold today is not that it has somehow failed in its role as a measure of stable value. The problem is that many people no longer want their money to be stable in value. They want to play games with it, which is true of today's seat-of-the-pants central bankers, and also those whose rule-based systems are not aimed at achieving a stable monetary value at all. This is a self-defeating game, self-defeating for the people as a whole, at least although it can be very advantageous for the elites, both in terms of profit and political influence. You see, when you accept the fact that gold is simply a measure of value, you don't have to pile it up in vaults. Well, there's always enough. There's plenty out there. It's gold's abundance, the accumulation over decades and centuries, that helps it serve its role. John Stuart Mill understood this over 170 years ago. We might do well to remember it today as a return to normalcy, for our current monetary arrangements seem to slip further and further away. And they will. I see the slippage, and I'm still more and more convinced that this whole Bitcoin cryptocurrency, and I'm not finding fault with it. Please don't misunderstand me, Larry, if you're out there listening today. I more and more am convinced that it was the invention of the international bankster. It is their goal to force us into a cashless society. This is what they've been hell-bent for oh so long. But cashless society or not, those of us who are holding the real goods, the goods that have been accepted as a medium of exchange for six millennia, over 6,000 years, people, we're going to be able to barter and trade with it and exist and make sure that food is on the table. Or we're going to be able to do some trading to get a plumber or an electrician, if we should even have such things anymore. These are the reasons that I own precious metals. Not because I expect to get rich. Not because I expect to see it go from its current 1,276 dollar range and go to 2,000 or 3 or 5 or 10,000 or whatever these people claim it's going to go to. I own it because I believe the dollar is going to go to hell. Zero, excuse me. Same difference, I guess. But what of the Bitcoin? What of the advent of Bitcoin? Well, we're not going to get into that today. The question was posed to me several weeks ago by a listener asking about, with the potential advent of Bitcoin, let us assume that cryptocurrency takes over and we are truly in a cashless society. Where does one be able to begin to establish the value of gold or silver to be able to trade with? I think it's going to be we, the people, that are going to establish that value. How many ounces of silver or gold will a farmer accept for a side of beef? Or a young pig that's been raised at a 6 months level to be butchered and turned into pork chops and ham and bacon, etc., etc. These are the things to think about. But then, you see, there are those who will do nothing. Is there a value in doing nothing? We'll talk about that when we return. I'm going down the hall to the library. Be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Sooner than you think, my friends. Sooner than I think, than we all think. There was a entertainer some years ago that, as I began to, I'm a music aficionado. I love jazz. I love not too much this contemporary stuff. To me, it's not even music. But there was a black entertainer that came along in the 70s that was pretty darn good. And I came across a video once that at the age of 11, he was considered somewhat of a musical genius. And I actually came across videos of him with Nat King Cole at that age. Probably the biggest song that Billy Preston ever did was called Nothing from Nothing. You remember the words? Nothing from nothing leaves nothing. You got to have something if you want to be with me. Don't you remember I told you I'm a soldier in the war on poverty? Very upbeat song. God, I could only give songs that you could understand the words today. When Hannibal crossed the Alps and invaded Italy and inflicted a disastrous defeat on the Romans at Lake Trasimene in 217 BC. The Romans had their backs to the wall. And so they elected one Quintus Fabius Maximus as their dictator, unchallengeable general of all their armies. And he immediately got busy doing nothing. He knew that Hannibal's supply line stretched all the way back to Carthage. Time was on his side and against Hannibal. All Fabius needed to do was harass Hannibal, cut his supply line, and wait for Hannibal to make a mistake. And the longer he waited, the more certain that Hannibal would run out of supplies and make a mistake. And by waiting, Fabius robbed Hannibal of the advantage of the offense and forced him with his weaker forces on the defensive, unable to concentrate and use his forces to their full advantage. It took 14 long years, but Fabius won by waiting. And because of that performance, Fabius was awarded the surname Cunctator, the delayer. Aeneas wrote, Unus homo nobis cunctato restituterem. One man, by delaying, restored our fortunes. Well, at the first, however, he was not so popular. The party in Rome that demanded immediate action accused him of every failing, from stupidity to cowardice. But Fabius's genius lay in ignoring them and doing nothing. But like every other successful general in history, Fabius knew the possibility of victory always improves when you pick the time and the ground and the occasion of the battle, forcing the enemy to react to you. Doing nothing until conditions run your way stacks the deck in your favor. In short, doing nothing works far better than doing something until the right opportunity appears. There's doing nothing, and then there's doing nothing. My friends, modern life has made us all victims of a metastasized version of the Protestant work ethic. Rather than making work redemptive, it makes it all consumptive. It whips us constantly to keep us slaving, keep busy there, don't stop, do this, do that. And that perverted work ethic sends us down the wrong road, both in human and strategic terms. There comes a time when doing anything is worse than doing nothing. But then there's also different kinds of doing nothing. Often doing nothing amounts only to waiting for our dispositions to bear their fruit. But the doing nothing, I mean, is never born from a lack of imagination or paralysis or cowardice. We deliberately choose it as the response best fitted to our circumstances, whatever they may happen to be. It is not a merely passive strategy, but it is an active choice. We come back. We're going to talk about doing nothing as an investment strategy. Stay with us.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
It's what I like, working with a producer that's on top of it. Billy Preston. Kind of the subject of our commentary. Something from nothing leaves nothing. Nor is it nothing from nothing leaves nothing. Welcome back. What I'm sharing with you is a fairly lengthy piece. And if I continue through with everything, we'll eat up the entire time frame today, and I have other directions to go. But let me share with you, with some of the headlines we shared with you earlier, there is a huge fear going on in the international markets. I think when we begin to couple this with the uncertainty of the direction of the dollar, the fact that beginning 8.5 years ago, many of our enemies began to look upon this country as an absolute abysmal joke. We had a weak-kneed sucker for a leader who got down upon his knees and kissed the toe ring of every one of our so-called enemies. And most of them are still our enemies. They're laughing louder, and they're laughing harder than ever before. I read a piece about an hour ago that a ship that was completely mismarked, it was made to look like a ship from another country, was completely painted and decorated and sent with an exceedingly large cache of weapons to the Middle East. And it was shipped from North Korea. Our dealing with this gentleman, as it were, in North Korea is spooky and scary, given the fact that we seem to have a leader that is unbelievably volatile in this country with his mouth and his tweets and everything else. A man who's not drained the swamp, but he's filled it with more swamp druggers. All of these things are not going to play well with the value of the dollar. They're not going to play well with the direction of the stock market. I don't know many people who are invested in the stock market because they've got so little money left because of the lack of the economic recovery in the last 9 years that they have nothing to lose there. There are many who came to us years ago and began buying gold and silver. All I can suggest to you right now is, given all that lays before us and the uncertainty, is that nothing from nothing leaves everything. Keep what you've got unless you're strapped in a position where you have to liquidate. These are important things to do. If you're sitting on gold and you're sitting on silver right now, stay sitting. You bought them for a rainy day, and God forbid that rainy day comes to you and your family, you will have something to fall back on. And that be the case, if you need to do so, I'm here to serve your needs. At any time, if you decide you just want to pick up the phone and call because you're not sure about some things, you just want to question what you've got, what its present-day liquidation value is, what you can do with it, what you cannot do with it. But know the time is coming soon, much sooner than I think many of us would like to even believe. We are hearing massive rumors of, you know, this is October of 2017. It is the 100-year anniversary this month of the bloody Russian Red Revolution of 1917. How many people even think about that? Look around. See these Antifa characters and these uber leftists and the babble that emanates from their mouths. And I'm not just talking about politicians. There are threats abounding. I just as soon sit on my goods. Now, one of the questions that arises over the years has to do with the storage of that which we've acquired. And every couple of years, I'll drop in and revisit this commentary. It starts out very simply. Now that you've decided to buy gold and get it at true money, it's time to think about properly storing and protecting your investment. And the author says there's two primary options in safeguarding your gold purchase. You may either arrange to take personal possession, which I always recommend, or have your recently purchased gold stored at a third-party insured vault. I've known too many people that have done that. In the case of a precious metals IRA, we don't have a lot of choice. We have some choices today, but I'm not comfortable with them yet for a number of reasons. It takes a very special individual to take possession of their precious metals within the confines of an IRA and deal with them to the point where they're not going to have to worry about visitations from Irving, Robert, and Solomon, the IRS. The IRS can walk into these storage facilities at any time. They're expected to have X number of ounces on deposit within the confines of an IRA. Assured, it's always there, not off by a single ounce. Can't afford to be. Personal possession is always my recommendation. You pick up the phone and call me. I'm not going to store it for you. I've seen too many companies that have done that over the years. There were a couple of brothers some 20 years ago when I worked for a company where I first got to know John, the Cedarstrom brothers, Robbie Knoll. And there were two brothers out there that were selling bags of junk silver. Oh, but we'll store it for you. It'll save you some money. They probably had 50, 75, 100 bags sold. They own three. Somebody ever decided they wanted to take delivery. Okay, if it's one bag, that's okay. But they did not have as many bags on hand as they had sold. Those boys wound up spending some time behind bars. But it's simple to me. If you can't hold it, you don't own it. You can buy it, you can order it, you can pay for it, but if you don't take possession, then you've got nothing. Always take physical delivery, because it is the only counterparty free alternative and the surest way to ensure true ownership. But there are several things you've got to take a look at for security in your home. How much space are the metals going to occupy? Your own safety and comfort level. Do you live in a ghetto? Do you live in an apartment complex where everybody can hear through the walls? Do you live in a private home? Do you live in Philly, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Detroit, Chicago? How safe are you going to be? These are things you've got to think about. Now you got to get creative with your home storage. So let's talk about the storage space first. It takes a relatively small area required to securely store gold in comparison to silver. Gold at home makes storage convenient. American Gold Eagles are sold in 1-ounce increments. When you order it in large quantities, they're shipped in tubes containing 20 coins. A single tube of Gold Eagles fits in the palm of your hands, about 3.5 inches in height, with the approximate diameter of an old silver dollar. Now think about that. Oh, I've seen people do real interesting things with that. Yeah. A high value, high density of gold helps it because it opens up the possibilities of where you can store your metals, regardless of where you live or your housing situation. And thus, gold's compact form and conveniency creates an almost limitless array of possibilities for home storage. When it comes to home storage, keep safety in mind. Keep your own personal comfort levels in mind. These are important factors to consider because it is your safety, your peace of mind, your comfort. Safety has to be of the utmost concern. Never hold more in your dwelling than you feel comfortable to sleep well at home with. Limit the number of individuals who have knowledge of your investment. Don't tell all your kids. Don't tell all your grandkids. They're kids. They're going to talk to others. If you got kids that are teenagers that are on drugs or dope or whatever the case may be, you know what they're going to do? They're going to babble to one of their friends. And eventually you're going to get hit. You're going to get robbed. Bingo. Just shut up about it. Investment in precious metals must be a completely private decision. The less people know about it, the less of a potential target you will ever be. And once you establish a degree of confidence and security with your decision, you will understand the benefits of home storage. Now, there are some creative means. Begin to think outside the box. Go against conventional thinking and have some fun with it. Everyone usually thinks of the same typical options, purchasing a safe or having an alarm system. Challenge yourself to think of multiple different means of embedding the metals. Consider ways to secure the metals 3 layers deep and away from apparent view from a burglar who would be looking for things to grab and go. In a floor safe that's bolted to the ground, covered by floorboards with carpet and a china cabinet over it. I mean, you could do a Google search or whatever search engine you use. You could look up things like storage compartment, secret bookcase, other like key terms on YouTube. It'll give you some creative ideas. You should be able to discover many clever solutions that the average thief just won't even think of. No, he's looking at the top drawer of your wife's jewelry box or her dresser underneath her underwear. Gee, that's real common. Once you're comfortable with the idea of having gold at home and you've taken the proper safety measures, you're going to feel at ease, be able to understand the value of having physical possession of your bullion. Silver, obviously of an equal value in gold takes up considerably more storage space. One of my clients recently said, no, I can't do any more silver. I'm running out of room in my safe. Hey. To have that much silver at home, I think, is foolish. I like having larger amounts of silver than gold in my personal possession. Well, yes, I do, and no, I don't. I generally recommend 30% in silver in physical possession, 70% in gold. Gold is more transportable. Think about all these people in these hurricanes, those that we saw, the miles and miles and miles of cars heading up the road to get away from the hurricanes in Florida, those who may or may not have tried to get away from Harvey. I don't know if anybody got out of Puerto Rico. The fact of the matter is, for those who were able to escape, it would have been much easier to grab $100,000 worth of gold and stick it in your pockets. You could have done it. You can't do that with silver. It'll weigh you down very quickly. I've seen that happen. Keep those things in mind. By the way, for those of you who may wish to talk to me just for general counsel, etc., I can be reached at amazing hours of the day and night. Do keep in mind I'm on the Pacific Coast, so for those of you who are in the Midwest or the eastern region of the country, try to keep their time zones somewhat conservative. I generally don't like to be called after 10 at night my time, which for those of you on the East Coast as well, 1 in the morning, at least at this time of the year. Another month I'll be back on mountain time, but Arizona, we're the only state that doesn't participate as an entire state in daylight savings time. Well, an interesting news piece came out to me today. Anyway, I apologize. I can be reached at area code 623-327-1778. That's 623-327-1778. Whether you're interested in buying, inquiring, selling, you just want some general ideas and knowledge about what you're holding, what its present value is, what you could expect to get for it if you had to sell it, to be able to care for some important needs of your families. I don't charge you for those things. That's why I'm here. That's why I've been here for about 3 decades doing this. You want to talk about IRAs? Maybe you've just recently retired. You've got a 401k. You don't quite know what to do with it. But you know that if you're going to leave it in the hands of those who are managing it now, it's all going to be in the hands of Wall Street. I can help you correct some of that. We can talk about some precious metals IRAs. The first goal is to stabilize the value of what you have. If you can continue to get growth, that's great. My first obligation is stabilization. Now, interesting news report came out to me today, which I'm not going to say shocked me, but it continued to feed me with information that I've been smelling for a number of months. The U.S. Mint. Their bullion coin sales, American Eagles, gold, silver, their sales have dipped for the first time in about a decade. You see, the 2008 financial crisis began a historic ramp up in sales that lasted for years. Over 20.5 million silver American Eagles sold that year, more than double the 2007 total of just over 9 million. In all but 1 year thereafter, the Mint set new records, record after record. Sales peaked in 2015 at 47 million silver American Eagles, 5 times the number sold before the world discovered just how rickety the global financial system actually is. But memories are short. Investor complacency has set in, and it's doing it in Wall Street right now as we speak. And my God, the emails I get every single day trying to con me into one darn thing after another. Oh, I'm getting ready to get on a plane. You got to hurry up and call and get in this deal. Well, wait a minute. If you're getting on a plane, well, that's right. You got representatives that'll be glad to take care of my money. And a follow-up an hour and a half later, hey, you got this letter from so-and-so. Get on a plane. Man, you can still do this and make $160,000 before the end of the year. Yeah, but if I got enough money to buy into this, whatever this thing is. Sales to date through yesterday, actually through last Friday, in 2017 are just short of 16 million coins, and they're set to finish the year very close to the 2008 totals. Now, U.S. mint sales are generally viewed as a proxy for bullion sales in the broader market. Not much else available in the way of published data, and yet mint statistics don't always tell the whole story. While retail buying activity is still stronger than retail selling, we've seen a meaningful increase in customer selling of coins, rounds, and bars over the past year. A lot of the American Eagles traded today are therefore resale coins, which don't show up in the mint's reporting of new minting activity. Private mints and refiners are responding to weaker sales by lowering premiums on rounds and bars. Government bureaucrats, which run the sovereign mints, including the U.S. Mint, the Canadian Royal Mint, largely ignore those competitive forces. To date, they have not adjusted their pricing. Demand for government minted products therefore suffers the most, because buyers have taken advantage of significant premium discounts available in other products and secondary market items. A good example, and I don't have a specific exact price right now, but I can get pretty darn close within a couple of pennies. If you were to call me right now and say, Jeff, I want to buy a box of silver American Eagles. All right, let's take a look and see what spot right now. I got time to do this? Yeah, we'll make it. We'll make it. Let's roll this thing over. Come on, Bubba. Let's bring this thing up in here. I got this one thing right in my way, and it's driving me nuts. Come on, let's go here. Let's use, I'm just going to round this off. 12, no, we can't do that. 16, we're going to call it 1670 on silver. All right, times 500. Round about somewhere around $10,100 is what you're looking at for a full box of 500 silver American Eagles. And I can get you that. I may be able to get you an older date, you know, maybe not brand new 2017s. Maybe I can get a box of 2016s or 2015s. I got a client who needs to sell off just about a box of 2007s right now. Might be able to save somebody money, but we're fairly close at that figure. So I'm going to double check my figure. 16.7. We got that plus that. Ooh, that, what happened there? Ooh. 16.70 equals times 500 equals, yeah, come up with the same figure, roughly 10,100. That's a delivered price. Now, here's the interesting kicker. Remember, that's 10,100. So we're going to use the same 1670. We're going to come in here and do this. For $9,125, I can get you an identical 500 ounces. Now, if you were to pick up the phone and call after the show, my suppliers are closed for the day, so we'd have to take a look tomorrow morning and see if we're up or down. But that's a considerable, I mean, you're talking about $1,000 difference roughly for the same number of ounces. Here's the kicker. The 1 ounce silver rounds I would send you, the 500 1 ounce silver rounds, the planchets, the discs, the blank 999 fine silver discs that these privately issued 1 ounce silver rounds are minted, struck on, are manufactured by the same company that mints the blank discs for the U.S. Mint. You're talking the same product, the same efficacy, the same quality. It's just a different picture, and one of them doesn't say, you know, U.S. Mint on it. Why would I spend $1,000 more for the same 500 ounces? Wow, but Jeff, you know, Ahmed Packrat is going to much rather have a silver American Eagle. Ahmed Packrat is not going to care. If you got to do barter and trading down at 7-Eleven, my friends, an ounce of silver is going to be worth an ounce of silver, and he is not going to pay you a premium because it's a silver American Eagle. I mean, it's your money. $1,000, I got better things to do with $1,000 than give it away to the U.S. Mint in a roundabout format. Government mint bureau rats don't respond to market conditions. They don't care. Private mints and refiners are responding. They're lowering the prices. and therefore demand for government-minted products suffers the most. Buyers take advantage of significant premium discounts available in other products and secondary market items. I had a gentleman call late last week, and I apologize if he's out there listening. I've been wrapped up with several major projects, and sometimes I don't get to call back as quickly as I'd like. Called me up and said, look, I heard you on RBN. I know John Stadtmiller, blah, 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 blah. I got $1,000 I want to buy some silver from you. I want silver bars. I got to tell you something. I haven't looked at the price of silver bars in so long. You know why? People don't buy them. There's not a big market for 1 ounce silver bars. But to be able to get a tube that houses 20 1 ounce 999 fine silver rounds with a nice little picture of an eagle on it or a Liberty Bell or whatever the heck is on it, for whatever reason, those become more tradable. I'd have to call to get some prices. Why would I do it? This article is so interesting because they're talking about, you know, new production silver eagles. Why would somebody pay $6 for those and wait for delivery? $6 over spot? I don't know a single place that's getting that kind of money for silver eagles. The guy says, oh, investors can get these coins, these privately minted ones, for about $250 over melt instead of paying $6 and waiting for delivery. What? I don't even charge $250 for the rounds. And one of the two rounds that I sell the most of were originally struck in 1983, and their design has never changed. And I like that because it's highly recognizable. Any buyer who doesn't have to have a so-called sovereign coin will find plenty of other silver products with premiums under a buck. Rounds, bars, gold premiums availability also improved. These are the kind of things that I can do for you. If that's something you're looking at, give us a call. Don't want to buy a whole box? Let me know what you want to work with, and I'll see what I can do. I've got 6-7 different suppliers. If you come to me, you want to buy a couple of rolls, expect to pay a higher premium. I've got to go pick it up. I'm a local guy. I've got to get it packaged. I've got to get it shipped. It may be worth doing it with us. It helps support the network. Or it may not be. We'll make that determination together. So look, been an interesting day. I'm not making a specific offer today. We're talking generalities. Don't get hoodwinked. Don't pay too much for an ounce of silver. Let's do some business together. 623-327-1778. You guys have a good evening. And, Michael, thanks for being here with us today. And we'll see you guys on Thursday, huh? Take care.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.